In your head, zombie, hee.
Hey, I do like Bad Wolves' cover of that.
It is one of the worst covers ever.
No.
Literally just the original, but worse.
It's fine. It's not that bad.
It doesn't change it up enough. It's like everybody likes, who is it? I think Seether that did Sound of Silence. It sounds just like the original, there's no point to it.
Sound of Silence, that's Disturbed.
Disturbed, sure, whatever. But the point is, it sounds it doesn't change it up enough. You need to do like Jimi Hendrix All Along the Watchtower versus, you know, Bob Dylan. Like, it needs to be different.
Or like Puddle of Mud and Nirvana.
Yeah. Like that. That's the.
Yeah. I didn't know that they had that weird Al Yankovic side to them, but they did.
Yeah. Oh, they got my lord. That is a fucking train wreck.
That's another one where I can't. If when I watch it, I get a pretty good belly laugh.
Holy
I'm hurting for a little bit. Oh my god! And then the one where they slow it down, like they slow it down, and he screams. Yeah. Oh my god! I could just laugh at that for a half hour.
Well, we should actually start this whole shindig.
All right, I'm going to close my door because Raylene's watching spoopy shows.
Okay. Look at that! He's wearing the merchandise too.
What's a good spoopy show these days?
He'll be able to let you know. What the? Oh, Dave, don't do that.
Oh, okay.
Were you trying to stream something?
What?
I was just trying to share screen.
Oh, because you wanted... What, did you want to show GoPro?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was looking at the buttons down here in Discord, and there's mute, which is fine. And I guess it makes sense the same way mute makes sense. There's... The button to not hear you guys is called deafen, but in my mind, I should click on that and it should like release an ear pitching shriek that permanently ruptures your guys' eardrums.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. I want a deafen like button.
It's an attack button, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I can.
Can you?
No.
He's an okay guy.
He's an okay guy.
But he's also douche.
I didn't really mean that.
Losing his front teeth was the exact appropriate amount that he deserved.
Yeah.
All right. I just sent you guys go blah, blah. It's probably the best.
It's no Fenton.
It's like a 2 second.
Oh, I recognize that sound. I recognize that sound.
It's like I watch that all the time, and I'll watch the little kid with a look at all those chickens.
I forgot about that one. That kid's an idiot. You moron. You unbelievable stupid dolt.
Oh, that's those really mean. Chickens. That's very toxic, Nathan.
That's all right. She's too stupid to understand me.
It's like Katie when she was a child.
Wow.
Oh, I went Lewis on that. So.
Wow.
All right. So, hey, welcome to episode 311 of the Crippled System podcast. My name is Andy.
My name is Nathan.
And I'm Dave.
And Nigel.
Yay!
What was that song by 311? Remember when there was that whole... Sucks. There was that whole... Yeah, well, it sucked, yeah. But there was that whole thing where people claimed that they were a white supremacist band because the 11th letter of the alphabet is K, so 311 was KKK.
Three Ks, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course, it was complete bullshit, but I mean, it was the thing when they were... Because, you know... We're all morons.
Why did 311 name themselves after the KKK?
I believe the actual source of their name was like, that was the police code for like stoners or something, like where they were, like people who were like just doing weed at a party or something else like that. You can look up the etymology of some 90s band that nobody gives a fuck about if you would like to, but all I remember is that in high school the rumor was that it was a KKK reference.
Interesting.
No, it isn't.
Wikipedia says the band's name originates from the police code for indecent exposure in Omaha, Nebraska. Yeah.
I was close. I knew it was the police code for something. And or that they're all white supremacists.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably are. They just didn't put it out in their band name.
I mean, it's Nebraska. I mean, that's... And one of their band members is named Peanut.
Does he have a monocle? Did he die?
No. Yeah, that was kind of a wasted Super Bowl fun times.
Well, they got everybody talking for like a week. Like we all knew it was going to get undone. They killed off Mr. Peanut like 2 weeks before the Super Bowl, and then surprise, he came back during the Super Bowl.
No. Oh. So that's two people, Jesus and Mr. Peanut.
Yep. And I'm not certain they aren't the same person. Have you ever seen him in the same place?
That's true.
Gandalf. I just rewatched those movies this week.
I need to watch movies that don't suck. I'm really tired of, like, movies right now are just barf. I don't understand.
So what are some terrible movies you've seen recently?
I don't know. It's worst part is that they're not terrible. If they were like Legion or spectacularly bad, they'd be exciting. But it's like,
understand that. It's like it's just so because at least if you watch a film like Cats, you can get home enjoy ranting about it. But if you just watch a mediocre movie, it's just like, I'd like that time back. It wasn't terrible, but I shouldn't have been there.
Nigel, there's a great David Mamet film I think that you like. It's called Red Belt.
Oh my god.
I don't know if you've seen that.
Red Belt came out at a time because like Red Belt's technically just an average movie. And back then, just being so utterly idiotically mediocre was like hilarious. And now that's all you get. It was like, oh, you like the Red Belt, huh?
That's all mediocre amazing. Is worse than bad in some ways.
Because, in every way.
David was just saying, like, at least Cats you can laugh at. But something that it's like the only film I ever walked out of. It's definitely not the worst film I've ever seen, but that just because I was just non responsive to it was knocked up. Like, I got halfway through knocked up, and I'm like, yeah, I could just go stare at a wall instead. And I just left the theater.
Yep.
I'm wondering if that was that before your kid,
Nathan? No.
No. It was after? Okay. I'm wondering if that has a difference for people who didn't have that experience.
Well, like, I think what it is that Judd Apatow movies are all garbage. And, like, I sat through 40-Year-Old Virgin, and it was okay sometimes. Like, Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen, like, were pretty damn good, right? But the movie as a whole, I'm just like, I guess. And then it ended, and I was like, that wasn't overly good. And then I got halfway through knocked up and was done with it, and I have not watched a nanosecond of Judd Apatow since then.
Mm-hmm.
Just does not tickle my pickle.
I have to look at his filmography. I don't even know what he's done.
I mean, they're all the same movie.
I feel like I haven't even seen a movie in 6 years. It looks weird. It's only been like 2 months, I'm sure. But
yeah, I still haven't seen Bumblebee, and it's not like I haven't had time to.
I haven't seen it either, but I did see The Joker finally. I don't know if you guys have seen that. I wish it wasn't about the Joker. I wish it was just not about the Joker, to be honest.
I mean, then just go watch King of Comedy or Taxi Driver, because Joker is just those two movies with
the face. But that's exactly it, so I don't know.
I'm trying to pull up Judd Apatow's filmography here.
Pineapple Express wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Oh, was that him?
Yeah.
He did not direct it, though, and he was not the main writer. He's got a story credit.
Okay, he was a producer and part writer. I was going to say Pineapple Express was a pretty decent movie. The rest of these are just kind of like
40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, Funny People, This Is 40, Trainwreck.
Funny People, isn't that the Adam Sandler cancer one?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the one where Adam Sandler has cancer, not the one where he is cancer. That would be every one of his other films.
Yeah.
Come on, we kind of laughed a couple times during.
No,
you laughed a couple times.
There were two good things in all of not Hateful Eight, Ridiculous Six. That's what it was. Ridiculous Six.
Oh no!
It had one begrudgingly funny scene where the guy's inventing baseball and they're playing baseball with him, and like they throw the ball and he swings and misses, and they're like, "All right, you're out." He's like, "No, I can miss twice." So they throw it again. He's like,
"That's
no,
like a riff on baseball, though."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Except it was baseball with the actual baseball. So, I mean, it wasn't the greatest scene ever, but within that film, it at least was a coherent joke, right? With actual execution. So I could grant it that. And Vanilla Ice as Samuel Clemens was the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
Like, yep, who would have thought that Vanilla Ice Mark Twain would be shockingly good? He was wasted in that film, but if you ever need somebody to do a Mark Twain biopic, just call Vanilla Ice. He's got you covered.
Yep.
No, and the Burrow shit scene I enjoyed. Just because because it's just Burrow shit scene. It was entertaining to me.
Don't encourage them.
Yeah.
What were we talking? We were talking about Judd Apatow? No, I think the...
Yeah, he has mediocre. It's like, meh.
He just doesn't like a... His way of comedy is really just kind of like, it just, here's the situation that everybody else has experienced, and we'll just, you know, kind of show it with, I don't know, I think some of the characters are somewhat interesting in his...
He's basically these good just kind of making edgier Hallmark movies.
Yeah, like he's trying, he takes dramedy, like cranks it to the most cliched way possible, throws in some gay jokes and some improv, and that's it. Like, that's what he's bringing to the table.
It's kind of like podcast banter for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's ironic to me that people complained about that in other films like Ghostbusters, but Judd Apatow's built a career out of it.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters 2016?
Which I need to check out because I didn't hate the film version. Like, I laughed a decent amount through the film version. I thought it was relatively fine, you know, whatever. Didn't deserve the hate it got. But I saw a thing recently that says that there's like a 2 hour and 15 minute director's cut, like, that is actually super, super good. Because one of the main things that people complain about in that movie is the choppy editing and like plot points that don't go anywhere. So I'm really interested in seeing the director's cut.
Yeah, I was going to say that was my primary issue with that movie is that in a normal movie, you do not even notice the editing. And in Ghostbusters 2016, the editing was aggressively bad. That was my biggest issue with it is just that the editing was so bad. You were sitting there, I at least was sitting in there in the theater and thinking, this movie has terrible editing. Why do I not notice editing in other films? Oh, because they're competently edited.
There's going to be two editing issues in a film like Ghostbusters. The one that is inexcusable, and it's inexcusable in any film, and it's universal between films, is going to be actual loss of like plot points and cohesion, right? And that's the kind of stuff the director's cut is going to help solve, assumedly. But the other one that a movie like an Apatow film or the Ghostbusters film, and I think I've talked about this previously, is if in an improv-heavy film, if the actors are not skilled enough at understanding what you have to do for it, they might not find the button. They might not find the perfect wrap-up ending scene, punchline, and now the scene is over and done. And when they don't find that button, they'll just ramble on for a few minutes and say some funny jokes, and then the movie just kind of meanders off into the next scene. And it can be tough for editing to deal with that if you don't have a strong anchor point.
Yeah, I think that's the most criminal. I think the movie was pretty unredeemable garbage, but mostly it was the... I mean, I would accuse it of being editing, but it's like, maybe to them, they thought it was funny, all these like ad-libs, and they just left it. But again, like...
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
Editing is so much like a sound... It's like a laugh track for a sitcom. You know, if it's a movie kind of needs editing to be snappy. Brevity is the soul of wit and all that. Like the scene where Leslie Jones shows up at the hearse. All she has to do is show up at the hearse, and they're just like, what the hell? and then that scene could be over, but then they like talk about a hearse, and then they're talking about a dead guy in it, and then they don't even know if he's dead, and that they could go across state and get five fingers or whatever. It's like this, like, mm-hmm. and they just go on, like, all the scenes just go on forever, and it's just like, it was like you were almost laughing at the start of it because they start with a premise that you know is kind of funny, and then they just kill it. They just flog it until it's destroyed.
Now, flip side, every single nanosecond of Chris Hemsworth is the greatest thing ever.
Gross. No, wrong.
Oh, he's so good in that.
He's so terrible.
Him being so good in that is what got us Thor Ragnarok.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I was just like, what?
I've never seen it. Not Thor by Ragnarok? Choice. Yeah, I've seen Thor Ragnarok. The Ghostbusters 2016.
The thing with him that's bad about it is, like, so say you have Mom and Dad Save the World, and everybody, all the characters, the movie of is the setting of it is that people can be ridiculous, especially the planet they go to, and people can be literally so stupid that they all pick up a grenade that destroys them when they pick it up that says "pick me up," right. And it's like it's a genocide device or whatever, you know. And then there's sort of like it's funny that they're so stupid, but like the movie goes all the way through. Whereas like Hemsworth's character in that movie was weird. Like, it just didn't hit. I don't know. It didn't land with me at all. He just was like a space alien in this bizarre movie that had so many weird things going on.
He's a bimbo, right? And I think what's interesting is that we've seen an irredeemably, just unfathomably, hyperbolically stupid, dumb, blonde, hottie woman in a thousand films before. And people don't bat an eye because it's such a known stereotype. And so to just have, like, it's literally the exact same thing, but a dude version, like, well, the dude eye candy
moron. I think if Chris Hemsworth was played by a female actress in that exact same role with the exact same lines, people would be like, still thinking like, I think that's a little too far. Like, it's, sure. I get the trope.
Yeah.
But
I mean, that was kind of the point.
Well, because I think it was both. Is like they switched the gender and then doubled it, really lampshade. Like, and again, there's no arguing with humor, right? It's impossible to say, well, you're wrong, it was funny, like, because that's not how humor works.
Yeah.
Any more than you could say, well, you're wrong, that movie was scary.
Yeah.
Right. You know, my famous story, you know, infamous, everyone knows it, about when Raylene and I saw It Follows, where, you know, the movie ended and Raylene said that was the worst movie I've ever seen. Nothing happened. And I said that was the scariest movie I've ever seen. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
And that's just how it's going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's people out there that like The Thin Red Line, and I don't know who they are.
People who wanted to be out of the rain for a few hours.
Or there's
it's better than Saving Private Ryan because it doesn't have Upham.
No, I would much rather take Upham over Fucking Thin Upham. Red Line.
God damn Upham.
I don't need to know what John Travolta is thinking about then. It's divisive too, like No Country for Old Men. We've talked about it on the podcast a ton of times.
Coen Brothers and Tarantino are huge divisive movie creators.
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of like, Scorsese, he's cool, other than if you're a Marvel fan, apparently. But then but Tarantino and Coen, there's always like those, you know, the camps that, you know, it misses them completely or whatever. Yeah. I'm not in those camps. I love both those directors, but.
Yeah. I think I do like every Tarantino film, and I hate Tarantino.
Yeah, no, I agreed. 100% agreed.
Like, fine, I get it. You like to jerk off on feet. Could you just maybe not for one movie? But on the other hand, like, just by throwing it out there, like, he's never going to get Me Too'd, right?
Like,
everyone knows. There's no secret back room, you know, let me see your feet, you can be in my movie. That's just what it is.
He's got a kink, and he's trying to, you know, kind of normalize a little bit. You know, good for him.
Yeah, but could he stop normalizing the N-word?
Yeah, exactly. He could not normalize other things.
Anytime you want to just stop throwing that into your movies, Tarantino.
He gets away with it because he actually, he does it during the time period that it is generally for some of his movies, some of them.
90s.
The the dead storage in Pulp Fiction is just an excuse for him to say the N-word 47 times.
Yeah.
Personally. He's like, I really like saying this word, and if I do this, if I, it's like, come on. Like, Django, I get, like, right? You know, Hateful Eight, I get, sure, but come on.
Yeah.
Oh, well. But his movies are really good, so... I guess he can get away with that.
I even like movies that was just written by him. I mean, probably one of my favorite movies of all time is still True Romance. Yeah. That's a Tony Scott film, I think. That movie is just... I love going to people who have never seen True Romance and just listing off the actors in it. Because it's got so many good ones in there. And Balky.
Yeah, Natural Born Killers.
Well, that's not... That's
that's Ollie Stone, right?
Yeah, it's Oliver Stone.
Tarantino wrote it.
Oh.
He did?
Yeah. Stone directed it, Tarantino.
I always thought that Natural Born Killers was Oliver Stone trying to be Tarantino.
Yeah.
So never mind. Yeah. I was like, that's where he went wrong, is that Tarantino was hot and he just like came out with this stupid movie. And I was like, he's just aping what Tarantino does. And he's not even good at it. Oh, well, that makes more sense if Tarantino wrote it.
Tarantino had said later that that was one of the scripts that he should have directed himself.
Yeah,
but, yeah,
because it is Ollie Stone aping Tarantino. Yeah. He's just doing it to a Tarantino script.
Yeah, right? I didn't realize that was the point. Was it more of a apologies to Mr. Stone?
Is Andy googling something? I see him looking at his phone, or not faces. Yeah.
I think that luchador mask is just off camera, just down.
No,
I watched Ready or Not last night. That movie was all right.
That's the college horror film.
There's no colleges involved in it, but it is an ostensibly a horror film, but it's not really scary. Ready or Not is where like the lady's getting married into a rich family, and the wedding night they have the ritual where they hide and seek with the new people. Well, they don't always. The new person to the family has to like draw a card, and they have to play whatever game it is. And it could be Pinochle, it could be Old Maid, it could be Hopscotch, it could be like literally any game that's ever existed. But unbeknownst to them, if they draw hide and seek, they're going to be hunted down and murdered in a satanic sacrifice. And so the movie is her just fighting back against this rich family as they try to hunt her down and kill her in their mansion. And it's pretty damn good. A lot of good laugh out loud moments.
Is it something that at the end you find out that it's a satanic ritual, like Hereditary, that piece of shit?
No, you know right away.
Okay.
The movie starts with the previous time they played hide and seek. So the movie, the first 30 seconds is them murdering a groom.
Okay. God.
And then it's just like 30 years later, her getting married into the family. So you know from the start exactly what this movie's all about, even if you never saw the trailers.
Nigel,
you get kind of the your next vibe of like, now all of a sudden they're up against a somewhat competent person, but not quite to that extent.
Awesome. Have you seen Hereditary, Nigel?
I did.
What?
I actually can't. I thought about Hereditary recently because I saw it, and now I can't. I realize I can't remember it. I don't know if I watched it when I was playing WoW. Or
there's an autistic girl, and then her head falls off, and then her grandma climbs on the ceiling for a while.
Yeah.
The end. Yep.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of those, and then what's is it The Witch? Those are kind of a series of these, like, understated, awesome horror movies that were, like, moody and long.
The Witch and The Lighthouse were both by the same guy, and they're both very good.
Yeah.
I haven't seen those. I know that when I went to go see Hereditary, I didn't like that film at all. I thought it was beautifully acted. It was just the story was just...
Was Hereditary the same as the same guy as Midsommar?
Yes.
Okay, so I was like, yeah, there's kind of like a series of these horror movies that kind of seem related that came out, but I enjoyed them, but I don't.
Midsommar is basically just Wicker Man, and why do Wicker Man again when Nicolas Cage perfected it?
Yeah, exactly. I agree. Actually, I love
one of the best comedies in cinematic history.
Yeah.
Just Nicolas Cage in a bear costume punching old ladies. Andy, if you're curious what a mermaid's genitals look like, you should watch Lighthouse. There's a nice close up. Is it a cloaca? Is it a vagina? Is it some kind of combination of the two? If you're curious, you should watch Lighthouse.
I watched the video for the Red Letter Media did on the Lighthouse, and I don't remember the review. I know that they liked it, but that's about it.
The movie is insane. And yeah, I don't mean that the characters are insane. I don't mean that the script is confusing. I mean that the film is a sentient being that has serious mental health issues.
Yeah, it's similar to like what's that stupid director's name that did
David Lynch?
David Lynch. So it's like a David Lynch on crack.
It's like David Lynch at his actual like prime, like Eraserhead, like. Okay. Not the fake shit. Like things like Eraserhead and Lighthouse feel real in what they're doing, unlike Mulholland Drive. But yeah, when people say they like David Lynch, it's because they think that he's doing shit like Lighthouse.
Okay. Or Dune.
Sorry, I had something in my throat.
I love Dune.
It's a great book. Mm-hmm. I will agree with you there.
I think the movie resonates just because I think I like the soundtrack too much. I don't know why.
It's Toto. Yeah. Like, you can't not love Toto. Yeah.
Of course, I mean, the movie is such a classic. You have a physical copy of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Nigel had a physical copy of Red Belt, probably for the same reason. Hey, you got to borrow this, friend.
Exactly, exactly. Yes. I just had to like give it away.
That is exactly the reason I have Dune, is so that I can loan it to people who I should have said, learn it is correct. They need to learn their lesson. But when there's people like, oh, dude, I've heard that's good. It's like, well, watch this and you won't know.
With Red Belt, I wasn't loaning it to them, though. I was giving it to them, and found its way. It always found its way back to me. But the expectation was that they keep it.
They're welcome to keep Dune, actually. Yeah. I've never asked for it back. It's a similar thing. But yeah. That fucking movie. Like, I hate it, but on the other hand, it's hypnotic.
Yeah, see? You can't turn it off once it's on.
It's just a goddamn train wreck of, like...
But it's almost there. It's a train wreck of almost there.
And the things that stop it from being there are just so goddamn inexplicable. Why are heart plugs a thing? Why are they duct taping a cat to a rat? What is any of this shit that's going on?
What's wrong with the heart plugs? Heart plugs are sweet.
Okay, even if heart plugs are a thing, because it's like his slaves that he murders with their heart plugs, why does he have one?
Yeah.
Why would the Baron have a goddamn heart plug?
Yeah. A weird fetish.
Murder megaphones. Like, I get that you don't think that you can make kung fu nuns look cool, so you're not going to do kung fu nuns, and that's fine. Just don't bother replacing them with anything. Like, the weirding modules make no goddamn sense.
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched Dune in such a long time.
And then Paul makes it rain because he's Jeebus.
Yep.
Well, I mean...
And they all lived happily ever after.
Isn't that supposed to come out this fall?
The first half of the new ones, yeah, comes out this fall. And I'm super looking forward to it because Denis Villeneuve, he does good stuff. I liked Interstellar.
The casting is amazing.
Yeah, we still don't know who's Fade. And I really, really hope that I think that Bill Skarsgård would be great. Because he's perfect for the role, and he'd have the family resemblance to the Baron.
Is he? Is Bill Skarsgård? Is that the guy who played Tarzan?
No, that is a tertiary Skarsgård. Oh. Bill is the one who played Pennywise.
Okay. Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
Which, you know, he's got the intimidating yet extremely like small. Like, he's got that, like, whatever. Like, he's got all that same shit Sting had going for him. Like, he's not a big, beastly, burly guy, but he also could definitely fuck you up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, did you guys want to start talking? I got a whole bunch of questions from the fans on like quick snapshot topics.
That's fine if you're tired of talking about Dune and the concept of a threatening twink.
A threatening twink as in what?
That's Fade. What Fade needs to be, because he's a twink. He's Baron's pretty boy sex toy.
Oh, yeah,
but he also would beat the crap out of Mike Tyson in a fight, right? So you got to have that terrifying twink.
My new user handle. It may be Ty Sherian.
What?
Ty Sheridan for Fade Rotha.
Oh, I didn't realize there was anything going on. Because he's probably not, I don't know, whatever. Your face. Topics?
Yeah.
Topics, done. All right. To bring this into War Machine a little bit, which Warcaster statue should be torn down?
Striker 1.
What?
Which
Striker 1? Oh.
Who won?
Severius.
David said somebody won a couple times, but I only heard the one both times.
Striker 1.
Okay, I can agree with Striker. Oh. Yeah, definitely freaking Signar, like with the lying betrayal to the Cholkin.
Yeah.
I just want Striker 1 gone because nobody enjoys a game that has Striker 1 in it.
Well, then you pull down Haley 1.
All the Haleys. Just basically, all of them are the worst, including the 50-foot tall one.
Just Signar as a faction.
Yeah, that's the statue we tear down. We just make it all
ban
Kador.
The Signar battle flag from all of our racing events, right? Pull down all the Strikers, all the Haleys. There can be one hilariously deformed statue of Kray just on his horse on somebody's private property.
We use that to signify the Indian population because it looks kind of like the... Yeah.
I was just making a reference to the Nathan Bedford story for a statue.
Oh.
That looks like somebody like made a statue out of taffy and then pulled it apart on a hot day.
That's what you get when you set out and you say, "Yeah, I want to make a statue of the founder of the clan." And how far down the list of sculptors you have to go to find someone's like, "Yeah, I'll do this."
You finally ended with the Spanish lady who tried to redo the fresco in that church. Yeah. Like that caliber of work.
So it looks worse than like the Lucille Ball statue.
Whatever it looks worse than whatever you were going to finish that sentence.
Or the Fonz. Fonz looks pretty bad as well.
This Nathan Bedford Forrest statue, neither he nor his horse looks like they are their species. It is the worst statue, which is only appropriate because fuck Nathan Bedford Forrest.
Fair enough. All right. Nigel, you said Severius. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so which cartoon offends you the most?
Which cartoon offends me the most?
Is
he going to pop up the Nathan Bedford?
I don't know. Is he?
But it's sort of a comical, yeah.
There you go. You have to click on watch. Oh my lord, that statue!
Yeah. Ooh.
Who that Nathan Bedford Forrest statue? Also, the scale. Is he like a toddler? Compare him to that horse.
Yeah, he's like a fantasy critter who's,
it's like a horror movie.
It's like the fairies on the motorcycles in Onward.
But look at that, his fingers are too big to fit on the trigger of his gun. It's just like it's fractally terrible. Everything you look at, it gets worse.
I honestly didn't realize I honestly thought that they had this weird, like, Jesus head on like a little schoolgirl who was riding a pony, like a unicorn. And then I didn't realize it was a gun just because I got.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sort of my eyes just crop it at his like skirts. I just thought it's like, why is there like a little girl with like a guy's head?
And the neck in comparison to the size of the shoulders.
Yeah.
Like, oh my lord.
Somebody didn't go to school.
I think the same person who sculpted this drew, there's a magic card that came out recently. It's like a terrible one. Anyways.
If you remember it later, just say it and Andy will edit it in there.
Yeah.
No, that's not going to happen.
I was giving him hope, Andy. I am most offended by the existence of Alan Gregory. Remember Alan Gregory?
No.
Oh, man, that shit was real bad. Like, Fox buried that super hard. It was, like, the worst.
Yeah. Like, Fervent Champion, by the way, is the magic card. Found it.
Fervent Champion?
Yeah, Fervent Champion. Literally looks like that statue to me. Who's this cartoon, or what was the worst that you were?
It's Alan Gregory.
That card is much better than the statue. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah.
Let's put it in perspective here.
Alan Gregory went on for like 7 episodes before it was canceled. It should have ended Jonah Hill's career. It is absolutely horrific.
Oh, geez, never heard of this. I looked it up. I'm looking at it now.
It was buried as far as it could. Like, he's like somehow like a toddler Republican, and like he's being raised by his two gay fathers, but really only one of the fathers is gay. The other one is only in the marriage for the medical, the health insurance, and because he was blackmailed into the marriage and shit. It's just terrible.
This isn't a kid's cartoon. This is like
no.
It's like Netflix, kind of like trying to be like BoJack.
It was on TV in 2011. It was on. It was like shoved into the Fox's Sunday animation domination spread, you know, with like Family Guy and everything.
Sure.
And then quickly went away because it was the worst thing ever.
I
highly recommend finding some of the episodes on YouTube and being horrified at one of the worst television shows to ever exist.
So my cartoon that offends me only because I lived in Texas, but I know just about everybody else loves it, and I'm going to get a lot of hate for it, but King of the Hill.
You mean the greatest sitcom ever made?
I can't watch King of the Hill. It's too real. It's too real. It's way too real. Like, I honestly, and again, I'm going to get a lot of flack. Piggy Hill,
She's one of the villains of the show. She's supposed to annoy you.
Yeah. Yeah.
What the fuck is this Fervent Champion wielding? Is that a shoe with fire coming out of it?
Yeah. Yep. It's weird.
It is really bad. But that's the most confusing part. Like, other stuff is just, oh my god, I just accidentally zoomed somehow. But I think that's it's a boot with fire coming out of it.
Yeah, I think it's like a can of soda that's exploding. Like, he's shaking up a can of soda, and that's what happens in magic.
It just looks so similar to the boot that we can see that I just assume he took off his other boot and put some fireworks inside of it. Like, he had a Roman candle, but he didn't want to burn his hand, so he just shoved it in his shoe.
But he's got a saddle on top of a saddle on top of a saddle. His saddle's weird. Just everything about this, the picture's just awkward.
Nigel, yeah. I can get you a 12x18 print for only $25.
Nice.
We could put that up at the podcast set for eventually when we meet again.
He doesn't look fervent. He looks, you know, kind of just smug.
He doesn't look like a champion either. He sort of just looks like a guy who has got an energy drink. He shook it up, and it's...
And then he's off to found the clan.
Yep. Yeah, it's weird. I don't have any cartoons that I find offensive, I don't think. I'm trying hard. The closest one I can think of is that Control-Alt-Delete garbage. That's not a cartoon. It's like a...
Well, he did do Animated Adventures for like 4 episodes.
Okay, good. I'm going to say
The voice acting is up to the standards of everything else Control-Alt-Delete.
Oh, you got Penny Arcade to do it?
All right.
Our bizarro knockoffs of Penny Arcade, guys.
Yeah.
Like, let's do the multiplicity thing where we're going to clone them 12 times and take that, like, 11th clone and then have that version be the comic / voice acted.
Keep cloning them until any remaining trace of shame about the Dick Wolves debacle is gone, and then have them do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Zappity? Is this Zappity? I don't even know. You said it was topics of conversation. Is that the same thing?
No, I'm just, it's kind of what I brought up is Zappity's / topics.
Don't let this be like Ghostbusters 2016, though. You got to edit.
Oh,
this is find that edited. Button.
No,
yeah, you get some of that. You chop it out, make it a little snappier.
I chop off the ending and the beginning. Yeah, and that's the editing.
I can show you where to get a body. There's one right next door. Come back 25 minutes later. I come with like some fingers. Refrigerated? You want refrigerated or fresh?
I get you a toe, dude, with polish. I get you a toe
with polish.
Is this from 2016?
See, do you hate Big Lebowski, Nigel? It's the same movie, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
As evidenced by that one joke being similar.
Yep.
What?
But different, because then they edited it, and that made the joke snappier. Because they cut away, and they didn't hang on it for 20 minutes. And talk about toes and nail polish, and then they segued into, like, calling a drink a toe drink, and who would drink a drink named after a toe, and then that would get segued into, like, who knows what else.
But there is that toe drink up in the Klondike.
What?
There's, like, a Canadian bar where, like, the founder lost their toe to frostbite or something, and they kept their toe in, a pickle jar, like, in, you know, so it was pickled and preserved, and you can do a shot, or, you know, with the toe in the glass, and it doesn't count unless your lips touch the toe. And that's mm-hmm. You get your name on the wall or whatever. And apparently the toe has been swallowed on multiple occasions and had to be retrieved.
Gross.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, what was your favorite part of Riot Quest radio show, and why was it Wendell?
I don't know what any of that meant.
Yeah.
Apparently there's a Riot Quest radio show. Hold on, I didn't say that right. A Riot Quest. No, I didn't know that there was a thing. Sorry.
Where of this?
Yeah.
I've got all my miniatures for it assembled and primed and everything ready to go, and then COVID killed everything.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing with me. I haven't done anything with the miniatures, though.
Yeah.
All right. So, still play Gwent?
Fuck yeah, I still play Gwent. The previews for the cards that are coming out in the expansion on the 30th are all amazing. Every one of those cards has me just, like, turgid.
Oh, the 30th, so it's right in time for 4th of July weekend.
And
so
I took
nothing.
I have 10 days off in a row, and I guarantee I'm going to play Gwent at least 4 hours each of those days. I would do 8 hours a day, except Raylene's going to make me do some housework. But more importantly, the Sour Toe Cocktail is a rite of passage for visitors to Dawson City, Yukon. It's a simple drink, a shot of whiskey, usually Yukon Jack, with the accompaniment of a mummified human toe. And the phrase is, hold on, they had the phrase here. You can drink it fast, you can drink it slow, but your lips must touch the gnarly toe.
No.
Well, then you don't get to be in the Sour Toe Cocktail Club.
Yeah, fine. Perfect.
Coward. You ain't a man.
That was the rite of manhood is to eat a mummified or drink a mummified toe.
The rite of manhood is to get drunk enough to do something stupid.
That's usually just getting drunk in general for me.
I mean, how many people do we know that can do that sober?
Drink a toe?
No, do something stupid. No, get drunk enough to do something stupid.
Oh, sure, but if you're drunk, you get to, like, use toxic masculinity and machismo to excuse it.
Oh.
Like, okay. If you're sober and you just, like, suck on a human toe, that's just fucking weird.
You're just Tarantino at that point.
Yeah, exactly. But if you're all
one
just...
One-fifth Tarantino.
Yeah, it's his favorite drink.
All right.
Riot Quest radio show? Like,
yes.
I know Riot Quest, and I know what radio shows are.
Somebody's doing a Riot Quest radio show. I noticed on my Facebook wall there was a gal that was all dressed up as
Widget.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they're the ones who do it. I don't know. I haven't.
Is it just a podcast where they are in character as Riot Quest characters?
We could talk about it, or one of us could actually look it up.
No.
We could just sit here and speculate what it is.
Riot Quest. How many eyes are there in Riot Quest?
It also, maybe some...
17?
D- do you throw in some question marks in there too? Because it sounds like as you're saying Riot Quest, you might be questioning.
Riot Quest. I forgot. Riot. I have to move my head to the camera like that. Oh my lord, that header image. Come on, people. Fucking learn your tables.
You're talking about Jesus. Field of Fire or whatever?
Yes! Yeah. I'm glad we got to the same website.
Yeah.
Ride a Site's website has a Field of Fire header, and it is 3 times wider than my internet browser because they need to learn how to code. Historic episode of Field of Fire. Emmanuel is joined by a star-studded crew of well-known individuals from the private press communities at large. Together, they wrote and acted out an episode of Riot Quest in a plucky radio drama. Hmm. Oh, I'd listen to that. Yeah. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
Let's see. Cast list. Cast list. We have Crawtooth, Bamfist, Dreyfus, Wolf with No Name, Black Bella, Boss McCorn, Widget, Wendell, and Wendell's Gremlin. Actually, it's Wendell's Gremlin, and so I'm going to latch onto that typo, and I'm going to say I love Wendell's Gremlin. A gremlin is like a gremlin who's depressed.
Or is smiling all the time. It's maybe short for Grimace.
Grimace isn't a smile.
It's a death-like grin.
No, that's a rictus.
A grimace is also...
Yeah, a grimace is a frown.
Yeah, grimace is a frown.
Yeah, a rictus is the death-like grin. I know that because of... This Clive Barker book has a character named Rictus, and as a child, I didn't know what that meant, so I
looked it up. Andy's literally grimacing when we were telling him what a grimace was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a grimace right there. He's doing it. He knows what a grimace is.
Yeah, you're thinking of a rictus.
Yep. All right. I always thought it was weird, though, that Grimace was...
Grimace is also a giant purple milkshake.
Yeah.
That's what's confusing you is the McDonald's thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was he's a jovial, but he's green. Actually the depressed one.
He's like an Eeyore. He's the Eeyore of McDonaldland.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had to look up this thing about the toe place in Canada. And so the original toe was swallowed in 1980, and they've had 7 other toes donated to the bar since then.
Yeah, like I said, they keep getting swallowed.
Yeah, yeah. They can get you a toe. They can get you a toe by Friday.
Oh, that's from Ghostbusters.
What song from your favorite band would make a good title for a Bond movie? Bonus points if you come up with a plot for it. Based off the song.
So I'm a huge Duran Duran fan, and they have a song called View to a Kill.
That was already a Bond.
Yeah, damn it, really? Fuck. All right. Tina Turner
wolf.
Had this song called Goldeneye.
I'll take Mark Knopfler, You Can't Beat the House.
Sure, yeah, down there with the gamblins.
Yeah.
And then the baccarat.
Yeah, and somehow it involves a raccoon.
Mm-hmm. Also, baccarat, by the way, is just fancy French blackjack.
I thought it was just basically fancy French coin flipping.
No, it's blackjack, because you get, like, your 2 cards, and you can bust or whatever, except it's double dumb, because, like, you can loop around, so, like, if you get... You know, to go with blackjack, like if you were at 19 and you hit and you got another 10, instead of busting, you just like loop around to 9. But I think you only get 1 hit, so it's still kind of a gamble, but you can bust and still win if the other people bust in a worse way.
I think I'm going to go by... Wait, actually, somebody else go. Damn it. I lost the name of the song already.
You're going to say Sexecutioner.
I mean, Sexecutioner would be great.
It'd be a great Bond.
You got it, Andy.
I'm going to go by the I Disappear song by Metallica, because it was already in a spy movie, and that was the greatest one of all of them, which is Mission Impossible 2.
Oh, I thought it was from Spy Hard.
No.
Speaking of Weird Al Yankovic. Mission Impossible 2 isn't even... Well, okay, yeah. Man, that movie was bad.
It wasn't
even the best Mission Impossible movie, but it is the worst Mission Impossible movie. And it is one of the worst movies.
Yes, that one is. That's basically where that was pretty much the height of the, and also the lowest point of the John Woo's infatuation.
Yeah, that's when America said to John Woo, you know what? Never mind. We're okay.
They gave us.
You can go away now.
He gave us.
We thought about it. No thanks.
He gave us two amazing American films. One is Hard Target, and the other one is Face Off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
Face Off is an amazing film.
They're pretty fun.
It's amazing.
I wish movies. Yeah.
Did you
like that? Was like the last gasp of the 80s with those movies, you know?
And, oh no, Face Off is 90s.
I will meet you halfway.
It's the last gasp of like
the, yeah, it's like the death 80s rattle.
Sensibilities. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
I will meet you halfway and say Face Off is a goddamn terrible film in an entertaining way.
Yes. Face Off.
It's so fucking. Goddamn cultists mind wiping a child, and you're like,
yeah,
you're our son now. Your new name's David. My name's Timothy. It's David.
Yeah, no, I like the trivia that if you look up on Rotten Tomatoes, that movie for a long time was sitting at 92%.
Jesus Christ. I think it's because it had like 8 total reviews and nobody ever bothered to go back and correct them.
I think it's still up there. I think it's at least
fucking God.
Above 90%.
Yeah, but 92%.
Yeah.
What's Crystal Meth at?
Oh, that's it. That Crystal Meth at is like 47. That's my bet.
No, 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 no. I guarantee it's way above that. David, look up Indy Joan Crystal Meth.
Crystal Method?
Indiana Jones and the Adventures of the Crystal Meth.
Okay.
Come on.
How do you not know? It's the movie where they stucco people in a wall.
Translate my gibberish. Yeah.
Tomatometer is 20%. No. This is a different one. That was a movie called Crystal Skulls.
Yeah, no, that's going to be a ripoff. But that's an Asylum film that came out 2 months later, I'm certain.
Or maybe, a month
between
before.
Theatrical reviews. It's after theatrical release but before DVD, because that's how they trick people into buying them.
Oh. I want to say it's 47.
I just got alerts that two of my friends are playing
Gordon. 78%.
78 goddamn percent.
Indiana Jones.
So
and the
don't
Kingdom
tell me that Rotten Tomatoes is any indication of the quality of a goddamn film. 78% for Crystal Meth.
I appreciate the craftsmanship that's involved in that film. And also monkeys.
God,
I mean, can you imagine the day-to-day activities, though, where you're like, hey, Bill, you want to go stucco me into the wall in case some people randomly come here? And they've been doing it for like 1,000 years, maybe?
I think we talked about this movie on Saturday, but I think it was after you and Brian left. But somebody was talking about that Spielberg was talking about that movie, and he said, I just got tired of saying no to George.
Oh,
yeah.
I just got tired of trying to say no to George.
So
that's what happened.
So Steven Spielberg is the parent that's off in the corner having a cigarette and just drinking a beer, just slowly, just crying.
While his kid eats dirt.
Yeah. Okay.
Mommy, I put this poo in my nose. Okay,
oh,
George,
great.
Whatever.
Thanks.
Yeah. All right. Just leave mommy to her juice. Remember, everything good that George Lucas ever did was in spite of George Lucas.
Yep. Yeah, I love the video footage. I'm sure it's in some background documentary, but the stuff that they used in the Red Letter Media when George was giving his ideas and that, and they would pan across the room and they would just see like all the other guys are going, oh, well, yeah.
Whatever you say, George.
All right. Well, that's my favorite song, band. That a good title for a Bond film. What would you like to? What game would you like to be scrubbed from your memory? Keep in mind, this means there comes a chance of playing it again for the first time.
Ooh.
Like video game. So you'd scrub it from your memory, where you. Just eliminate it out, but then you might accidentally play it again.
With that in mind, I'm almost tempted to go with something that I'd like to play fresh again.
Yeah, exactly.
I was gonna say that the other way is like, can I have the game removed and then specifically play it again from the beginning?
That's what it is. Right. Yeah. It's not saying it has to be a bad game. So,
but if there's a the problem is that to make this interesting, you can't just like put a post-it note on your computer that says, "Hey, you need to play this game." Right? Mm-hmm. You need to rely on the fact that somehow it would come up again. So, I love Portal and Portal 2, right? And I'd love to play them again for like the puzzle aspects and getting the jokes again for the first time. But now it's been long enough that I doubt anybody's going to be like, "Hey, Nate, you need to play Portal 2," right? And people aren't making Cave Johnson references left and right anymore. So like, I might just never play it again.
Yeah, yeah, because I would want to say something like Bloodborne or such, but just by the way that game works, it's not you miss not playing it at release because of the multiplayer aspect.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me to relive it, one I play all the time is Fallout Tactics 2 or Fallout 2 would be one.
Sure.
Final Fantasy Tactics would be one. Both of those I play all the time, like over and over again. And I
Final Fantasy Tactics is the best Final Fantasy.
Yeah, it's amazing. But both games get a little old when you're like, you know, I think I played Final Fantasy Tactics every year for like 11. There's like an 11-year run where I beat it every year. And then as you wear on, you're like, ugh, I wish I didn't have to like level up all my guys in every job, you know, 600, you know, like just I've done it so many times that it's like tiresome. If I could forget it and start fresh, oh my God, it'd be in heaven. Yeah. Same thing with Fallout. Fallout 2 is just hilarious because like the Easter egg, like the humor of it is weird. The reading stories. A fascinating game, but now once you've played it, you just really can't do it over again. It's like, oh, I've seen them. I know that there's a Goonies reference here and a whatever reference there, and which guys to get and what their stories are.
Yeah. Did you get around to playing Outer Worlds, Nigel?
I did. Yeah, mm-hmm. I did not beat it. I don't know how far I got in. I liked it, but I thought it was. I just felt like I was on a railroad, and then I kind of like lost interest. Something sure. about it, it didn't feel.
I look forward to DLCs and whatnot because, like, on the world map where you can select which places to go, there's like four or five planets and moons that you never actually go to. So my hope is that that's, you know, planned DLC, which will open it up more.
It seemed like the game did well enough that that's probably going to be a case.
Yeah, almost certainly.
Fallout 76 is a game I would erase my memory to never actually play it again. Like, and then if I encountered it again, I would like blow up my computer, start a riot. Or
it might be, I mean, to be honest with you, that might be something that would be good now because the game started off as shit and it's not that bad now ish.
Now that they added it?
No, I've just seen reviews of it, and basically with at least the NPCs, when they added Fallout to Fallout 76, it seems like the reception's been better.
My guess is it went from an F to a C-. Like, yeah, it's still not, probably, like, the best game ever, but it's tolerable. I'm going to go slightly off book, and I'm going to go with the board game, and I'm going to say I wish I had never played Munchkin in my life.
Oh, yeah.
I know also that future Nathan would never play Munchkin again, because the context is enough.
Are you talking about Munchkin or Munchkin Quest? Because I thought Munchkin Quest was tolerable.
I've never played Munchkin Quest. I only played Munchkin, and I played it once to make my niece and nephew happy. And now that that's gone, I don't need it in my brain anymore.
Your niece and nephew are gone?
Yes. Okay. They made me play Munchkin. They had to be punished.
Along those lines, I will go with Cards Against Humanity because if I don't have to ponder on the amount of time I have endured that game, I'll be happier.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. Cards Against Humanity is just, I used to say that it's like a good game for once a year when you're drunk at a party, but I don't even care anymore. Mm-hmm. We have enough of us just acting like dickwads all the time anyway. We don't need a game to promote that.
Yeah.
I mean, apples to apples is bad enough, and then you try to make edgy apples to apples, and it's just, no.
I need to get a copy of Offensive Adult Party Game just to take with me if I'm ever at a party where people want to actually play Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know that one.
I was going to say... Oh, go ahead.
So it's the exact same play style as Cards Against Humanity, but there's only one black card and there's 20 identical white cards. And the black card says, I like playing offensive adult party games because blank. And the white cards all say, I lack creativity and enjoy the illusion of being funny. Mm-hmm. So you shuffle the white cards, you deal a hand to everybody, and everybody gets to play their card. And it's literally the exact same as Cards Against Humanity because that's the truest fucking thing.
I was going to say, Nathan, your idea, though, of erasing Munchkin out of your memory, that doesn't stop the murder.
No, and that's fine.
I mean, but it doesn't erase away that.
No, but at least I wouldn't know why, and that's more fun.
All right, so you then change it into a mystery game.
It's yeah, like, why I'm like, did I kill? I wonder why I killed those people. The cops are less likely to catch you if you honestly don't know your own motive.
That's true.
Because that's how Matlock always gets you.
All right, so this: how should Privateer Press handle the size of their products line? How would you handle the bloated line? I think
I'd come out with a new game called Neo Mechanica, and then I would slowly let War Machine poop out a little bit and then reboot it in like 2 years.
Yeah.
I would cap the factions that already exist. Just, you know what? They're done. We don't need any more Signar releases. We don't need any more Krix releases. Maybe you'll get one every year or so, but not a bunch. You know, make everything be limited factions.
Yeah, I mean, everything being limited factions. I mean, if they're going to continue the existing factions, I mean, add some of the kits. Like, honestly, I think one of my favorite Games Workshop kit that they came out with several years ago was a Space Marine a box that was a Space Marine captain. It just had body, legs, and then a ton of options for everything. And if you do something like that and just have it so okay, and it's like, and if you put these pieces together, it represents this solo, and just have like one SKU that you can assemble to create a ton of the options for solos or weapon attachments or whatever, just to add on more configurable kits. And
so like go beyond Warjack kits and go to full on just like, this is a Bodger and here's the 17 different Bodgers you can make out of them.
You can do that. I mean, I think going in the direction of direct order, I think that's the proper way to go. Because, I mean, look at Games Workshops. I mean, they have even more bloat than what Privateer has. But everything that they have is all direct order. So, I mean, you still have a storefront where you could still have up a limited size of SKUs in there. And then you just make everything else direct order. I mean, I think they're going in the proper direction. Unfortunately, moving your entire basis of operations and COVID and other things have been troublesome for that.
I got a thing yesterday, so those are shipping out again.
Yeah, that's March.
Is it? I don't know. All I know is that it showed up.
It says on the card.
Oh, it says 30.
I should say.
So if you can't. If you can't reasonably make a
March 2020,
a single kit that makes a ton of solos, then just like for each theme, have one box that includes like an infantry set and all of the support solos.
Yeah.
In one, so you don't have to collect five or six SKUs to build one to build one theme in addition to your Warcaster and battle group to go with it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, realistically, there are so many of there are so many solos that you will essentially only see played in sets, and so there's not much of a benefit to having them as separate SKUs.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, is most of those, if they're in direct order, they're not actually being held by the stores. Okay, so yeah, there we go. Fix it. Follow that exactly to the key.
Or just shut down all your miniatures and stick with Gobber games. Everybody loved Heap.
No. Actually, honestly, their one game out of there is probably the best one is the zombie Infernal one. Contraption. Zombies Keep Out and Infernal Contraption.
Yeah, there were some decent ones, but Heap was not good.
Heap was amazing for three rounds.
Heap was amazing until it turned out that 90% of the game didn't matter, and then you just like rolled a die at the end to see who won.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it felt like one of those. It felt like No Country for Old Men. It's like, this is great, this is great, this is great. Oh, what? Tommy Lee Jones drinking coffee and reading a newspaper?
He had a dream.
He had a dream.
He had a dream, Andy.
He did.
This is No Country for Old Men.
All right. I'll try to cut these a little shorter here. So
why?
MK4.
Why?
Because Nigel and I have to go play WoW.
You don't have to, and you can do it after. Curse you, sir. I have to go play Gwent, and I'm sticking around here.
WoW or Classic WoW?
We're Classic.
Classic.
Boo.
Yeah. What?
Boo.
Boo.
Andy does both. He's
Yeah. I actually like Modern better than Classic, but.
And to be fair, nobody asked you.
Yeah. I don't know. I am probably horrendously biased against Classic WoW because of things that was going on in my life when I was running a guild in Classic WoW.
Oh, okay.
Still.
Was that when you were like with the guild members getting divorced?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have been missed. I have, yeah, let me just tell you, because you haven't heard this story, Nigel, but I am completely immune to guild drama, because I was on Tychondrius. I ran one of the larger horde guilds on the server, and we had a very active and very successful raiding program that we did really good in Classic, and then Burning Crusade, it fell apart. And the reason it fell apart was because the Hunter class lead had an affair with the Shaman class lead, which was terrible because the Shaman class lead was my wife at the time.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah, it's like people talk about guild drama. It's like, yeah, it doesn't impress me. I mean, in retrospect, the Hunter class lead was probably doing me a favor, so I shouldn't be too upset about it. But hey,
good times, great stories.
Yeah, that was when I moved. I mean, I moved across the country after it. Met a friend of mine that owned his gaming store, and that was when I first got into War Machine. And as the guy who also supported his gaming store by running an escort agency out of the back room, had told me, it's like, you know why divorces are so expensive? Because they're worth it. But yeah, so that's my WoW story.
I'm going to a gaming curious. Store with an escort service in the back. That sounds like a blast. Mostly just because you could hire the escorts to be like extra players. Like, if you only got, like, five people for Dune, you're like, you know what? Let's all chip in and get a sixth player.
Yeah.
Well, that was one of those things at that gaming store that, I mean, the guy played Slaaneshi Demons in Fantasy, which might not be surprising.
Oh.
But I remember watching a game where he was playing. It's like sets up his charge, moves his models for the charge, and grabs a handful of dice, and his phone rings. Picks up his phone, holds it to the ear, shaking his dice and throwing it as he says, yeah, Amber's available. I can have her there in 30 minutes. Then picks up another round of dice and throws it. Just like everything going on, and then calls somebody else up to drive Amber over.
Business is business.
And counts up his wounds. Just in one continuous operation. It was fantastic.
That is interesting. Have any of you tried playing a game on War Table yet?
No.
Nope.
I don't know what War Table is. I assume it's like Vassal.
Yeah, it's like Vassal. Yeah.
It's Vassal that doesn't suck, apparently.
Speaking of which, actually, rewinding to the announcements that we never had, Warfare Weekend qualifiers are now on War Table.
Yeah, I saw that. Yep.
So, I mean, good luck.
Yep.
You got to do what you got to do. I mean, modern problems require modern solutions, I guess. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah,
I honestly think that the qualifiers with COVID, in a weird way, I mean, let's face it, this won't all be done by the time Warfare Weekend rolls around, so who knows. But if the last chance qualifier has to seat 32 players, that actually would be exciting, you know?
yeah, if you just make it just a massive event, just like this isn't even just last chance qualifier. This is the event, and the top 32 will just, that's where we cut basically, and then go again.
It would be a nice change of pace on a year, because at this point it's gotten, we've had a few years. This is a year where it was kind of getting cleaned up. But we went through a lot of years where a lot of the qualifiers were pretty sketch. You know, like people just go in there, and then you may as well just, you know, you may as well have just had certain players saying, I want a spot, and then him reserving it for them and not having to go through the rig remote, you know.
Right.
And then this year was a little cleaner in good, but maybe just having a year of like, let's just get them all in there at the last chance qualifier and just have it be the whole point of the whole weekend.
Or everybody just plays Twilight Imperium instead.
Yeah.
Because that's the real event that's worth traveling to St. Louis for.
Yeah.
My schedule is free this year to participate in it. So,
woohoo!
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Andy's 50. He's got a 50% win rate in Twilight Imperium 4th Edition, unless he's played without me.
Hmm. As in, he's skipped playing 50% of the time.
No, he's won 50% of the time. He's 1-1.
Yeah.
He got annihilated as the Turtles. But that was a good game for me because I played the Turtles in my next game, and it's the most dominant performance I think I've ever had in any board game ever, because I learned from Andy's mistake. Mm-hmm. And then I forget who you won with, Andy, but
Yeah, I don't remember who I won with. I know I snuck in the victory. I think they had like some hidden agenda thing.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's how you do it.
The game is done under is a bunch of hidden agendas. Yeah, I snuck that in at the last minute. It was awesome.
The game is so good. Don't let stories and fables about 2nd and 3rd edition scare you away from TI4. That game is fucking amazing.
And it is not as long as what you think it is. I mean, it's a long board game, but it's not
an all-day board game.
Yeah.
It's like a four-hour game, right? And that's long, you know, ish.
It's
but
not...
for some people, that's a mid-length game. I mean, I have games that take literally days to play.
Yeah, like Munchkin.
Like fucking Munchkin. It's like a film. Like, there is no perfect length. Any movie should be whatever length is correct for it. And some movies, that's 5 minutes, and some movies, that's 5 hours, right? There is no perfect length for a film. And the same is true of board games. Some games deserve to be 6, 8, 12 hours long. Some games should not be 5 minutes long.
Correct. All right, so we go into our classic Fuck, Marry, Kill. We've got the three choices here are Animal Crossing, Pokemon Go, or Gwent.
I'm gonna fuck Animal Crossing, because it seems like it'd be fun. Like, as a fling, right? I'd want to experiment with Animal Crossing for a little while, you know, have some fun, and then just kick it to the curb. I'm done with you, Animal Crossing. I wasn't looking for a commitment. My island's going nowhere. I just wanted to smash some eggs or whatever the fuck you do in that game, and I'm done with you.
Sure.
I'll kill Pokemon Go, because don't need it. The outside is full of, like, there's a ball of fire that gives you cancer and makes it hard to drive in the sky. I'd rather just be in my house.
Okay.
And then I'm going to marry Gwent because Mary I've got Kill. A lifelong commitment to that baby. Oh, she's a beautiful, loving spouse. So giving. So giving.
Those are the options. I'm going to choose abandon civilization and live off the grid.
So Animal Crossing.
So yeah, so you're going to be your own Animal Crossing. You and the raccoon, Tom Nook, are just going to set up in the woods somewhere.
Yeah, I'd fuck Animal Crossing. A fun game. It gets pretty tedious. And then, yeah, it's not a long term. I'd marry Pokemon Go because it feels like that game just never ends and you can get to exercise, walk around, and do stuff. And I'd kill Gwent, mostly just because I have no experience with Gwent. But, yeah.
Yeah.
And I play MTG Arena and all of that.
I think I'm kind of in the same boat as Nigel there. I'm intrigued by Animal Crossing, but it seems like it would be a good fling. I played Gwent a little bit. Don't care for it. Just
you played 5 minutes in beta.
Yep. that's all I needed. And then Pokemon Go, you know, hey, you know, I got to collect them all. I already have all the WoW fucking pets. Might as well go get the original batch.
Gwent is worth it only because, so here's the fun thing that Nathan has going on, which is that Nathan and Andy and three other people were in a D&D group, and then quarantine happened, so we couldn't play D&D anymore. Mm-hmm. And so Brian is our DM, and so I just started talking Gwent with Brian in our group chat. I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to use this group chat instead of just messaging him specifically, because why not? I think I may have done it accidentally the first time, but then I just kept doing it. And then one of the other people in that chat was like, oh, I've been playing a shitload of Gwent too. And so the three of us now outnumbered the other two people. So it became a Gwent chat. And we even changed the header from D&D chat to like Gwent chat. Mm-hmm. And then one of the two other people, we wore him down. So he started playing Gwent. And so now Andy's the only person in that chat who isn't an active Gwent player.
I don't know if they could take a hint or anything like that, but I did post in there that says, how do I mute this chat?
Yeah, we helpfully told you how. Feel free. We ain't stopping. This is a you problem.
Well, it turned out it was the day that I went back to, I had to go into work because my internet was down at my house. So I'm trying to watch videos on YouTube because I, you know, it sucks doing work stuff. And I kid you not, like every 2 seconds, a new message would pop up. And it's very difficult to watch a video when things are popping up all the time on my YouTubes. I do appreciate the conversations. I feel like I'm there, but I wanted to watch, you know, my crazy YouTube videos. All right. So best self-improvement tip that you tried out that worked for you long-term. We don't have that many more. Yeah.
That's funny.
Self-improvement tip that worked out for you long term?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't... what?
Like, how long is long term? I don't stick with anything long term because I have no self-control and I hate myself. Water. Water's a good one. I drink water at work, which is harder now with work at home. Whenever Aileen buys soda, I go through a 12-pack of soda in like one fucking day. But when I don't have soda, I'll drink a gallon of water and be perfectly happy, right? It's not difficult to just drink water at work as opposed to just getting energy drinks and sodas and coffee and stuff. So I think that's one of the easier ones that I wish I'd stuck with. And I still stick with it when I don't do work at home, but, you know, that's not a thing right now.
I agree with that. When I was at work, we had an awesome ice machine that would make the tiny ice cubes and then just get that with water. And I would just, so good. Mm. All right.
Yeah, basically drink nothing but water and alcohol.
Or you could just get ice cubes for your alcohol and then you're doing both.
Yeah. I mean, margaritas, obviously.
Yeah. Okay, so Zabity Grumble, whatever.
David and Nigel, well, Nigel said no. David, have you stuck with any self-improvement thing long enough to qualify?
I don't know. My advice to a lot of people, to people is always invest in education, because anything else, the next financial crisis around the bend can fuck everything up.
Yeah, but go to a trade school. Don't get a degree. Those things are worthless. Learn to plumb or weld. Welding. Yeah. Learn welding to weld really and learn to scuba dive, because underwater welders get paid like more than brain surgeons. Hmm. Like, that's because they're like 1,000 feet underwater in like the shark infested, you know, off the coast of South Africa. So it's dangerous and difficult and terrifying, and they die after a week, but they get paid really well for that week.
Because that's what I want is a job that being eaten is a hazard.
You know what? Tying in with that, hazard. I think my longest term self improvement was nihilism. Really helps with everything.
You've honestly been more chipper since you created that Facebook group.
Yeah. Embrace the darkness.
All right. I'm trying to hurry this up. So what music album stuck with you lately? For me, it's my Run with the Jewels LP. That's
Is RTJ4? That's not out yet, right?
Last week?
But did it just come out?
Yeah, it just came out.
I mean, Run the Jewels is fucking amazing. Like, I can definitely back that up.
Who's Run the Jewels? I don't know.
Isn't that what you said?
Isn't that what you said?
No, that's what the... I was reading what they had said.
Oh,
I was shocked, Andy. I'm not going to lie. I was really excited that you were an RTJ fan.
Who's RTJ?
Run the Jewels!
Yeah.
You've heard some Run the Jewels songs. I played a couple of them on the way back from Judge Mathis. I did The Legend, and I did Oh Mama.
Okay.
Ooh La La is one of their new ones that's really good. I like Ooh La La a lot. So RTJ is great. Embrace Run the Jewels. The one that I've been listening to a bunch, just because, you know, I mean, maybe I'm not supposed to like it because I'm not like a college girl, but fuck haters. But God, Billie Eilish's album deserved all the Grammys it got. Like, her brother is an amazing producer, and she's a dang good singer. That album comes together super well. So I would highly recommend anybody who's not listened to it because they don't think they're supposed to like Billie Eilish to listen to When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? Because it is a very solid album.
The most recent album that I have played by itself recently, and I mean, I've had it on rotation for years, but The Magnificent Distance by Chris Robinson is really good.
Is that Winnie the Pooh's friend?
No, it's the singer for the Black Crowes.
Yeah, it was Christopher Robin. It was
yeah.
The band that I've been the album I've been listening to all the time because it's a really great background music for when we're doing raiding for WoW, is Dance with the Dead. Nathan turned me on to that band, but I really like B-Sides Volume 1. Most of their albums are all theme-based, like underwater or, you know, kind of like horror film style. But B-Sides is just like a mixture of like a bunch of their stuff, and there's some really good tunes on it. B-Sides Volume 1 by Dance of the Dead. Nigel, did you have anything?
Yeah, I've been listening to Shaking the Tree, Peter Gabriel bit, Rage Against the Machine, the self-titled. And then Cake, Comfort Eagle.
Yes.
I don't know. All of them kind of scratch weird places I need to be right now kind of thing, but in different ways.
I really
just to show the eclecticness, the ones I've been juggling in and out of the CD player in my car before my car was taken away from me because my stepdaughter broke her car, so now she's using mine. Is Billie Eilish and then Skills and Pills by Lindemann, who you might know as the lead singer from Rammstein. His stuff, solo stuff, is good. And then the Akira soundtrack, because why the fuck not?
Yeah.
Tetsuo is such a great song. It's just cacophonistic noise. It's just bells and shouting. And for some reason, it's just amazing. Like, blow your speakers out listening to that song. It's great driving music. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't be, but it is.
Yeah. I also really like Peter Gabriel.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan as well.
Yeah, Peter Gabriel was great.
His cover of Heroes is probably like one of my favorite covers of all time.
I mean, everyone's cover of Heroes is great. Like, that's a song that just survives being covered so well.
Yeah, Motorhead does actually a really good version too. Which you wouldn't... I don't know. Lemmy does well. So we only have a couple more. Jeez. I told Nigel this will only take like about an hour.
What?
Yeah.
He did. It's true.
Yeah.
Well, keep it moving, Poppy. Keep it moving.
2D Terrain, 2.5 or 2D?
Was one of those 2Ds supposed to be a 3D?
Oh, did I say 2D? Okay, yes. 3D Terrain, 2.5D or 2D? I'm wondering if the 2.5 is maybe like if you have buildings specifically. Or
any, yeah, yeah.
Or kind of like forest features that you take pieces off.
Yeah, I am entirely on board with a mixture of terrain. Walls and buildings should be 3D. Forests and rubble should be 2D. Just so you get some appearance of the table from having the 3D stuff for buildings and walls and stuff, but your shit is not falling over all the time because you've got a forest that you're trying to put shit in.
See, I am a gamer, not a modeler. I mean, the aesthetics are fine and I can enjoy a pretty model, but I would play War Machine if the bases just had the stats on a flat base like a POG, right? And so I'm perfectly fine with 2D terrain. It is cleaner. It is so much easier for use. I totally get that a beautiful table looks beautiful, but if I'm going to play on it, I want cleanliness. So I can do 2.5, like linear obstacles, you know, buildings, anything that you can't go on to. But once you have forests and, I mean, hills are out of the game now, but still in games that have hills, like that shit, just no to 3D. It's not worth it. Propping dice under your model to try to get it to stay, like, no, just no.
Anywhere you can place the model should be flat. Mm-hmm. And you can beautify the table beyond that, but anything that you put a model on is flat.
Yeah, are you guys basically talking about like tournament play or
all of the above?
All of the above. Yeah, I'm sort of you know, in the basement or in your living room kind of gamer. I kind of like the 3D everything. You know, where it's like futzier. I just enjoy it. It's like super. I get way more into it. Sort of taps into when I was like a wee kid, like in third grade. We used to go out and play G.I. Joes, and I would make like hyper elaborate. You know, because we'd play like little war games with our dudes, and I would use like terrain. I would literally use sticks and dirt and rocks and stuff to make super elaborate forts and battlefields and whatever. I like it to be super detailed. I don't hate it, but I have tournament. Yeah, 2D's fine. I don't know. I go either way, I guess. Also, if you play Batman or you guys might play Marvel Crisis Protocol, those games, Batman specifically is, alarmingly fun on a full complicated terrain, but it's also urban, so there's less organic. Organic is problematic. You have like hills and rocks and weird stuff that you want.
There isn't a forest, right? Yeah, like there might be a tree, and like you don't climb onto the tree.
There's just a tree, exactly. And you have a car. You can get on a car, and a car has surfaces that you can get on. But there's not too. You know, if you want to stand on a fire hydrant, that just makes you an asshole. You know, like you wouldn't do it. You know, You technically maybe try to put your guy there, but you can't.
And some games like that, I can totally go with that, right? Like, if you're going to have a game where the three-dimensionality is really part of, like War Machine, you never go on top of a building, right? Like, that's not part of how the game functions. But something like Batman or Marvel Crisis Protocol or Warcaster, getting on top of something is, A, functionally important within the game, and B, far, far, far more common and easy to do. So for those, I'd be more okay with the 3D terrain as long as the rules, like, you can't tow onto a building, right? You're not going to prop up a foot's worth of dice to make your model be half on. Your model needs to stay on it. And so it bypasses hills and forests and the trying to make it stay shit.
Yep. Yeah, I think every game that has getting on stuff terrain, you're not allowed to have your base edge, like in Infinity, you can't have your guy hanging off the edge so on. But they do have rules for being like on the side of a building where you mark where they'd be and they can fall down, which is a little weird. You know, if they did the all or on, if War Machine ever had an elegant way, it'd be like, you're either all in or all out or not towing in or whatever the other nonsense.
Yeah. I kind of like the hybrid basically where the 2.5. Basically where, you know, forests are forests and you just pull the trees off so you can actually see where the forest is, and buildings are buildings. That's that. All right, so have you tried out any small scale 15 millimeter or less systems?
No.
I did 15 millimeter or less
way back when.
Yeah, I may have done some Epic way back in the day.
Like 30 years ago, I played some Epic.
Yeah.
And I had no idea. Like, I didn't even know the rules. We were playing a G.I. Joe style, like Nigel was talking about. We just had some Epic models.
Yeah. Is Saga, how big is Saga?
Saga's
not
like
that I've even played it.
20 millimeter, I think.
20 millimeter?
Yeah.
How big is Ogre?
Napoleonics?
Yeah.
I guess technically those old fleet, the old, what's the old GW boat game? Manowar
and Battlefleet Gothic as well.
Yeah, those games I played, both of those. Technically, those are smaller than 15 millimeter, right?
Yeah.
There's War Master. That was
Warhamster. Warhamster's great. I don't know. Not a lot though.
Nope.
Lord of the Rings doesn't get too big too.
What size were they asking about?
15 or less. 15.
Okay, well then I did play a decent amount of a less because I just looked it up and Ogre Miniatures is 6 millimeter.
Oh. Oh, so yeah, like the Ogre itself is
Yeah, the Ogre itself is like 6 inches long and that thing's, you know, the huge. The infantry are there will be like 3 squad members on a base that is smaller than a dime across. It is very small scale, like epic style. So yeah, there's my answer. I forgot my name as background noise in this chat because of Travis.
Oh. Oh yeah, I changed mine back to Major Tusk. So have any of you played Hollow Knight, which we already know Nathan has? And
yeah, it's terrible.
If you have, you finish it. So I assume no. I have not played Hollow Knight.
I disagree to the fiber of my being with a major decision they made in the gameplay. And some people like that decision, and there is no... It's like the humor of Ghostbusters. You either like it or you don't, and there's no convincing either person that they're right or wrong.
Is it the map?
Hollow Knight. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's the map.
Nobody else has played Hollow Knight, I assume.
No, I'm looking into it now.
I've played it. It's good. The map is annoying. I just, honestly, the reason I never finished it is because it was on the Switch, and that was before we were a multiple Switch household, and it was challenging to acquire Switch time.
The map annoyed me the second section I went. Like, the first section didn't really come up, because the first section they give you the map right away. The second big area, it annoyed me a little, but I found it relatively soon, and then, okay, that's fine. The third section, you enter the section, and there is, you can go left or down, and I went left, and then from left, there is a billion screens of exploration to do, including 2 different bosses and power-ups in this giant fucking area. Whereas, meanwhile, if you had gone down, it's just a one-screen dead end, and that's where you get the map. So if you go left, you invest hours into exploring this huge area, none of which gets mapped out until you go back to that one room, and then you have to go back and re-explore it all. Yeah. Fuck you, game. Every other game, it would have shown up, and then the auto map would just fill in things if and when you get it. That's how it works. There's no reason for me not... Whatever. Fuck you, Hollow Knight.
All right. So that's pretty much it. We could probably jump over to our recommendations, if anybody has any.
I have 2, just because one of them is very, very niche and won't apply to most people. So just the niche one is that if you happen to work for like a streaming company like Netflix or HBO or any television company, just basically if you're involved in production and distribution of video, and you are in charge of balance of audio, and you make it so that dialogue is 1/1000th as loud as the background music, I would love it if you blew your fucking brains out. The world doesn't need you, you piece of shit. What? I'm sick of cranking my TV to 100 and the characters fucking whispering, and then the background music kicks in and the wall of my house blows off from the shockwave like the opening of Back to the Future. Fuck you. Flatten your audio channels.
Nathan, which show hurt you?
All of them forever, but the most recent one was Return of the King. It's just fucking infuriating. It's inexcusable.
Yeah.
And then the actual recommendation, just because it used to be hard to get forever, and it is an influential show whose influence is felt, but it doesn't get credit for it because people see the thing it influenced and they think that's what was influential and they don't go the one more step. And the show, you can finally get the complete series on DVD. And that is the show. If you think back to Simpsons at its height, like season 4, season 5 of The Simpsons, and how much TV just feels like people trying to recapture that magic of that time frame, that show was a direct result of Get a Life. And if you've forgotten Get a Life, or if you never watched Get a Life, watch Get a Life. That show is fucking amazing. Andy, you'll appreciate it. Reference Chris Elliott in Cabin Boy, one of the rare films with David Letterman in it.
Hey, little girl, you want to buy a monkey?
You want to buy a monkey? But Get a Life, like, it's fucking amazing, and it holds up. Like, I remembered liking it, and I was like, it's probably terrible now, right? Like, nothing holds up. It holds up. It is such a brilliant, genius show, and you can feel the impact it had on 90s and beyond sitcoms and comedy, and it deserves your attention.
Chris Elliott is a dude who he has never made anything that I don't enjoy for some reason.
Yeah.
And he's never quite gotten to like a big level, like as big as I thought. I always thought like a Cabin Boy. I actually liked him on Letterman. And yeah, Get a Life. Just everything he's ever been attached to, I've always thought was just like weird and creative and hilarious. And it's always been sort of in my jam. And he's never caught on. It's like he never found, other than Letterman, a person that could like escalate him. Like, who was the Mr. Bobbin show kind of brought up Tenacious D? Like, there's all these like interconnectivity and sort of these genius comedy shows. And he just never sort of caught on with like a group that could elevate him, I guess, or keep him relevant. Or
you know. He's great on Schitt's Creek now.
Yeah, he's on Schitt's Creek. Exactly. He's always been working, and he's just never quite. He's always working, and whatever he's working on is impactful, and he never gets like he never punches through. Maybe that's just by design. It's like he works with his agent. He's like, hey, I don't want to get too big. I just kind of want to get paid.
So as I was rediscovering Get a Life, you know, and giving another shot, I had that exact same thought. And I'm like, you know, he's one of those guys that's always good. He looks like a hard worker, and he just has never really, like, made it. And I felt bad for a little while. And then I Googled his net worth, and I'm like, well, good for him. He made it.
Yeah.
Like, once you have 8 or more digits in your net worth, I guess you made it enough. Like, you're not Tom Cruise, but you can retire. So you don't have to feel bad. He's not like working at the Walmart to make ends meet because Hollywood never accepted him. He must have made some smart financial decisions on those Cabin Boy residuals.
Yeah. That he got Letterman to do a cameo. You're one of those fancy lads. Anyways,
The thing I would like to recommend, it's a not really a little known series, but it's a series that's produced by ESPN. 30 by 30. It's just a series of documentaries about
just the whole series 30 by 30, not the Tyson one or the
Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson one.
He killed
like sheep with rocks or whatever the heck it was. Like he threw rocks at cows and would like knock them out.
The most recent one that I saw was the Bee Water, which is the story about Bruce Lee. Kind of going over like his how he came about to do everything that he did. And that was an amazing show.
I assume Bee Water was a health drink like almond milk.
No.
Speaking of Bruce Lee and kind of circling the Tarantino bit, in the most recent thing, you know, his like gotten hot water over how he depicted Bruce Lee. Did anybody? If that same depiction of Bruce Lee happened in like 81, do you think it would even be offensive? And I'm not saying that like because like he's essentially acting like Cassius Clay. If someone made a movie where Cassius Clay was acting like that, where, you know, he's braggadocio and kind of cocky, wouldn't that just be?
Well, so here's the important question, Nigel. Would a white man then beat the shit out of Cassius Clay?
Because
I think that was the bigger issue with the Bruce Lee thing.
Well, I don't think he beat up Bruce Lee. He just threw him into the car. He kind of got the one good on him, and then after that, it was like, oh, it's on. I actually think if they fight, Bruce Lee creams him. So it's like a projection of like, you know, it's sort of like a mirror. People put in the mirror what they want to see.
Sure.
I guess.
Sure.
But yeah, my take is that Bruce Lee at that point is for real. Here's what I get out of that take. He finds out that guy killed his wife. And Bruce Lee, basically, his reaction is surprise, but doesn't give a fuck. He gets right in there. Like, who the fuck would fight a guy who killed his wife if they were, like, literally full of shit? Like, you know what I mean? Bruce Lee went right in there, you know? I think there's actually a lot to that. And, you know, at the end, he's still training Sharon Stone, and he's a part of, like, the fabric of, the, you know, I feel like, anyways, that was one of those ones I just didn't get it. I didn't get the offense. And Tarantino takes heat out of stuff I do agree with, like, you know, he can dial stuff back.
There's plenty of stuff you can like, even if it's iffy, there's so much stuff that you can just nail him on that you don't need to bother with the iffy shit.
Yeah. I'm like a Bruce Lee fan. I thought it was like a send up. I didn't take it negative, to be honest. I just thought it was like,
where was this at?
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
I've yet to see it yet. Okay. Okay.
Oh my, what?
No, I haven't. I've been bad on movies.
Jeez.
It's one of Tarantino's top 10 films.
I was more amazed by David asked, who's Cassius Clay?
Which Cassius Clay?
What?
Which Cassius Clay?
Muhammad Ali?
Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, because Cassius Clay, the championship boxer from Kentucky, was named after Cassius Clay, the abolitionist from Kentucky, who once defended his newspaper with a cannon.
Did you think that Nigel was talking about a 1980s film starring an abolitionist with a cannon?
No, but I think it would have been more entertaining.
Like,
if that was
now
the Cassius
I hope
Clay
he
in the
was.
Movie.
Yeah, like, yeah. I will say retroactively, I hope he was talking about that Cassius Clay. But I think it was a safe assumption that he wasn't. That Cassius Clay would blow the fuck out of George Foreman.
Yeah,
literally.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean the original Cassius Clay was shot by a would-be assassin, and he pulled out his knife, cut out the dude's eyes, and threw him over a cliff.
Jeez.
Yeah. And so, I mean, this was who Muhammad Ali was named after.
Yeah. But, like, I don't know if you guys have watched Bruce Lee movies recently or fondly remember them, but, like, you know, that was the cool thing about Bruce Lee was that he was a cool dude. He was like a, you know, sort of an exploitation character in those movies, but he was like always a badass. Like he, you know, again, he ripped out Chuck Norris's chest hair and then blew it in the wind. You know, he was sort of cocky in the movies. Like that was like the projection that he had. Mm-hmm. So I was like, it was, you know, I don't know. I think.
Nope. It was racist and you're racist. End of story.
Yeah. You should watch Be Water, Nigel. I think you would enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's fairly solid. It's voiced by everybody who was close to Bruce Lee. So it's got his wife. It's got his brother. Obviously, it doesn't have Brandon in there, but it's got his daughter in there. And it's really touching. At the very end of the film, they don't show them at all throughout there. They're just narrating over old footage of Bruce Lee. And at the very end, they reveal everybody. It's really good.
They have Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in it.
Yep, he's in there.
Yeah, Lew Alcindor.
Yep.
There's the Bruce Lee sort of the tree of him is like really cool. Like James Coburn and all those other guys. Just like so many people that he trained, and then just how they like, just a really cool sort of spider web that sort of sprung out for him, like in an interconnectivity, like so. There's a little bit of Bruce Lee, strangely, in Hudson Hawk, of all places, you know, like a decade or whatever after he'd passed. And like, so many people, like James Coburn is like such a weird guy. James Dean
is a, you know, he's super big back then.
Yep.
Bruce Lee would famously sing sitcom title songs during his training regimens to stay on time. That's the Hudson Hawk tie-in, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, the Hudson Hawk tie-in is that James Coburn knows karate. But he's using, as being such a huge fan of Hudson Hawk, I've seen like the behind-the-scenes DVDs, and James Coburn talked about his, that's how I found out that he like studied with Bruce Lee. I was like, whoa, that's
Hudson
awesome.
Hawk's so good. Fuck the haters.
I love Hudson Hawk. It's such an underrated, I'm actually so mad that it's not a cult favorite compared to like Big Trouble in Little China or some of the other ones that have been cult favorites, like The Thing. Like John Carpenter has all these like cult favorites. Hudson Hawk, I think, is in the same conversation. I don't know why it's not. In fact, in a lot of ways, it's better. I think like if you watch it now, it holds up better because it's a stylized piece. It's almost like a period piece made in the time in which it's filmed. So it's like an 80s period piece that takes place in the 80s. But all the characters are like from the 60s because they just got out of prison from like a huge stint, you know. So like,
I think people just don't appreciate what it is, right? Like they think it's failing to be something else as opposed to succeeding to be at being what it is.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen it since it came out. Yeah, like soon after that. Yeah.
Anytime people talk about how bad it is, everything they list is just something. Well, yeah, that's the point, right? Like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Exactly.
You're right. Yeah. It's so dumb that blah blah blah. Yeah, it's really fucking dumb. That's the
CIA agent named Snickers. Like, why are they all named candy bars? Before that, they were STDs or whatever. I don't know. It's sort of weird and hilarious, and the movie is really weird.
Yeah, how come that guy's always got cards that say it? Because it's funny. Well, fuck you. Like, it's dumb. Like,
yeah. It's not Mission Impossible 2. It's an actual comedy. it's an actual comedy. It's a crime caper with singing and dancing and, yeah.
Bruce Willis being terrible in a great manner.
Yeah, and just more like morbidly dark humor violence. Like, the guy who chops his own head off because of the door. And I can't remember what Bruce Willis said. They had, like, these great liners. Yeah, it's just...
It's great stuff.
Bunny, ball. just at the end, she's like, the dog is like harassing him, and he's like, she's like, I can get this one. He's like, okay, you get this one. And the dog immediately jumps on her face.
It is. I just tried doing a search on Amazon to see if I could just buy it. It is not available.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's on HBO Max.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got it on DVD, so every once in a while I watch it.
It's in a 2-pack. Can you guess what the other movie is?
Oh,
2-pack. I'm gonna say 2-pack with Hudson Hawk. Just because the 80s they had nonsensical understanding. It's like it could be like a Dolph Lundgren vehicle. It could be Cobra. It could be some totally just like they just a slap. Oh. You know, it's Bruce Willis, so we're gonna pair him with an action jerk off.
I'm guessing it's another Bruce Willis one, but it's just something terrible like North.
Nope.
Is it Van Damme?
Nope.
Oh.
Bigger star.
Oh. It is Stallone, huh?
Nope.
Oh. Who is it?
Bigger than that.
That's what? You can't actually get bigger than
Tell
that.
Tell us the star.
It's Arnold.
Oh, well, that's not bigger. They're like the same.
I would say Arnold is slightly bigger than Stallone in the terms of box office prowess. I enjoy more Stallone films than Arnold films, though. Like, great early, you know, 90s, 80s Arnold films are excellent. And then Stallone films have been pretty much consistently awesome. Like Cobra, Jingle All the Way. Nope.
Like, Stallone's still even making movies, whereas Arnold's in these, like, pooping on Gunther, Netflix, whatever.
Nope. It's paired with Last Action Hero.
Okay. Oh, man, that's a good two. I'll go with that.
Yeah.
It's another movie, actually, I think is underrated. I loved it when it came out in theaters. I loved it then. I still love it. I know it's a little dumb. Also, it's really weird if you watch Last Action Hero and then you watch The Gunslinger today. Like, you kind of want to go back and be like, everybody should have to go watch Last Action Hero.
I wish Last Action Hero was just literally a Jack Slater film. If they gave us just a full on, kind of take out the whole going between two worlds, if it was just a Jack Slater film, I think it probably would have done much better. But oh man,
the previews, the fake previews, and the movie, it was all around good. And also, yeah, Tyrion or whatever.
Yeah, Tyrion Lannister. Charles Dance
is awesome.
Charles Dance is great in everything he's ever been in.
Yeah,
that the whole sequence where he's in real life New York, just running around with a gun. He's like, "Hello, I just shot somebody." Yeah. Shut up. Yeah.
That's where Trump got the idea.
Fair.
All right. David, did you have a recommendation, or do you already jump on that?
I have one this week. I have been. I will recommend finishing writing your dissertation.
Okay,
I'll get right on that.
I have been busy.
And Nigel, I know you kind of jumped onto mine. Did you have a recommendation?
I have one, but nobody can watch it right now. A few shows. With everything that's going on today that are kind of interesting takes is The Shield. So the shield is one. It's like just with today's cop stuff. You talk about how you glorified the wrong side of it. The shield is a really weird because it's such a schlocky, you know, kind of it's Kurt Sutter pre Sons of Anarchy. And it's sort of out there. But anyways, watching it today, you're like, And then Mad Men is interesting. Mad Men's interesting. It was when it came out, it was socially relevant because it kind of addressed ideas of misogyny, women in the workplace, equality, things like that. When you rewatch it today with like another lens, you actually realize there's a lot of under stuff that you missed out on because it wasn't relevant when it came out. Like they go a lot in depth on the Nixon, not his just his presidency, but like before that when he was a senator and the various like campaigns he ran and just destroying his opponents in campaigns and the way he operated against the media and stuff. And like these madmen are sort of helping him doing it. And it's actually like, I never caught on to it back then other than that, you know, we all know Nixon's a douche and that these guys are douches, whatever. But well, when you think about it, you think about it in different terms, like, oh geez, wow, this we've, the fix has been in for a long time actually. And, what was the third one? It was that one, Mad Men. Oh yeah. And The Sopranos. The Sopranos is fun on rewatch just from a, that show happened. Season one was pre 9/11, season two's post 9/11, and then the ends right before basically the 2008 crash. So it's an interesting show from a like time period, you know, they deal with some things and cut short just before some other things. So you like kind of frame some memories again with it. And it's sort of fun and interesting to go over. Also, it's a better show. I actually kind of love hated the show originally. And the second time I'm like, oh, I actually really enjoy it. Like there's a lot less things other than Chris Maltesante getting killed for basically no reason was a little lame.
But what about that, when that one Russian guy escapes into the woods and then he's just never in the show again?
Literally never in the show again. It's brilliant, honestly. We're like a little, what you just expect, like every time you just expected a rock to flip. Because honestly, he could have very well have been, what would have been brilliant is if he was basically the guy that walked into the diner, you know, when Journey's playing. And he very well could have been. We're like, it was so long ago. They buried it so hard that, yeah. But then again, if you think about that character, you know, he's like a Yugoslavian special forces who killed 16 people out in the woods, whatever. That guy is a survivor. He's not like the Punisher. So he doesn't care about revenge.
He just wants to survive.
He's just a badass. He lives in Acapulco now and he's drinking margaritas and living life. You know, that's what I think. But, so there was no need for him to come back.
Sure.
Madman, that's AMC, isn't it?
It is. It was just on Netflix. They took it down literally like a half a week ago.
Oh,
And then it hasn't been picked up by anything. So it'll come up. But I'm sure. I hope AMC doesn't try to make a dumb AMC streaming service that nobody buys because just holy crap.
Yeah. But streaming services are getting a little out of control.
Yeah. They need to dial this down.
Peacock. What a fucking horrible name.
I mean, yeah.
That's NBC's is Peacock.
I didn't realize NBC was having a streaming service.
Yeah.
They all do. They got CBS Go and whatever else.
Unnecessary. Yeah,
the two that really bother me the most is the Disney one and the DC ones. It's like, just come on guys, get on Netflix or Amazon. Pick one of the two big ones and stop making us do this.
DC especially. It's like, come on, nobody gives a fuck, DC. You've got like four shows. Just be on something.
I'm willing to bet you they'll just get rolled into HBO.
Also, Max, it was infuriating that DC had Swamp Thing, which was amazing. They canceled it halfway through the season, kept airing it though, and then kept using it as their fucking advertisement. They're like, we got Swamp Thing.
Yeah,
like, Swamp Thing, you don't,
because it was like it was such a hit. It was a they hit. It was like good, and then they kept doing. Now they're doing, but that whatever that Robin show is just trash. It's like sub WB garbage.
I've heard that
or CW, whatever.
Doom Patrol is pretty decent, though. That'd probably be
Doom Patrol. Doom Patrol's entertaining.
Yeah, got Brendan Fraser. That's all good things do.
Yep.
You know, I'm a big furry vengeance guy.
Well, all right. I think we should probably call it there. Thank you very much, Nigel, for appearing on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try to get you in more times if you want to be on us.
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yep. Thank
Good
you.
Good talk. Now you can go play your WoW classic.
Yeah.
I got Good great. Times. Great oldies. I'm going to... It fucking didn't draw my Crow Mother. What a load of shit.
What?
A Crow Mother. I usually like to play her round one because she comes out of the graveyard whenever you play an alchemy card. Never fucking drew her. That's okay. I might still be able to win this round. Although this guy's got his fucking Svalbard Priest Armored Drakkar engine going. We'll see how it go, guys. I'll get back to you with it.
Okay. All right. We'll take it easy.
See you guys all in right. a few weeks. Bye.
Yep.